Scripture reading, we'll be reading from Psalms chapter 26, verses 1 through 12. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes. And I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I have the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is wicked scheme. In whose hands is a wicked scheme, in whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations, I shall bless the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see you back. It used to be hard to determine whether 5 p.m. was afternoon or evening, but now since the time change, it feels like evening for sure. I don't even feel like it's afternoon anymore. It's definitely moved on to evening. This morning we talked about integrity, and this evening's lesson is also about integrity. And so I started with a definition of integrity just to get our minds kind of focused on that. The quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Someone would be known as a man of integrity, or I never doubted her integrity. Synonyms: honesty, honor, good character, good principles, good ethics, good morals, righteousness, morality, virtue, decency, fairness, scrupulousness, sincerity, truthfulness, trustworthiness. Then the definition two, the idea of something being undivided or being whole. Or, for example, the integrity of the Bible would be ruined by changing the ending. So most of what we would talk about in this lesson, both this morning and this evening, would be the first definition, the idea of uprightness. This morning we had some examples of a quote from Theodore Roosevelt, and then a quote from Doug Roosevelt, and just went on into looking at what David had to say about integrity in the Psalms, and down to the idea of 2 Corinthians, where Paul was explaining the importance of examining ourselves to see if we, you know, in essence, are people of integrity, to see if we are in fact in Christ. So Ezekiel brings forth quite a compliment from God for three men. He says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord God." And you might think of a time when Lot was in a town called Sodom and Gomorrah in that area, and God got him out of there. There weren't enough righteous people in there for God to decide to spare that place. And here's a situation where God shows these three men as examples of men of integrity, men of faith, men who can be trusted to do God's will in almost any situation. Noah, Daniel, and Job. In Genesis 6, 8 through 9, just a quick reminder of Noah. "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God." Peter, in his writing, spoke of Noah as a preacher of righteousness. Now, doing a word study, you could see the word blameless actually means having integrity. So anytime you see in the Old Testament, or most of the times when you see the word blameless, it could have been translated having integrity. In Genesis 6:22, thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Two important words, he did, and he did all that God had commanded. Very important. God uses these men as examples of integrity. Noah, Daniel, and Job. We know that our grandfather Noah, and I say our grandfather because he is, we all come from Noah and Ham and Shem and Japheth. Our grandfather Noah faced his challenges and obeyed God without wavering. He stands as an example of integrity for all generations, as do Daniel and Job. Of those two, Daniel and Job, we must focus on Daniel tonight because we don't have time for Job this evening. So today our example of integrity is Daniel. Now we've done a lot of studying about Daniel lately. When we did the lessons on being greatly grateful and much obliged to God, Daniel was one who came up. You know, he was taken captive with others, brought into Babylon. He was set aside as one of the young men who would be trained to do service to the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And he was doing very well in that. But we remember the decision that he and the others made that they would not eat the food that was not on the list of things that they should eat as Jewish people under the law of Moses. And so they rejected those things, refused to eat those things, and did it in a polite way, asking permission. And so we found that that was kind of our first indication of what kind of a guy Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, what kind of guys they were, men of integrity, young men of integrity. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he knew better than to tell the dream to his counselors because they would make up some interpretation. So he said, no, you tell me the dream and its interpretation. And it turned out Daniel was the only one that could do that. I say he saved many lives when he did that because Nebuchadnezzar was ready to kill them all and start over. If somebody didn't come forward and tell him his dream and tell him its interpretation, they were all going to die. So God blessed Daniel. God showed Nebuchadnezzar and others, if they were paying attention, that there is a Most High God who can do things that no one else can do. And Daniel was his servant. In chapter 3, we find that Nebuchadnezzar kind of forgot about God and decided that he would build this tall golden image about 9 feet across the base and 90 feet tall. And everyone was supposed to fall down and worship that image when the music played. And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were singled out in the scriptures as men who would not bow down and would not serve the gods of Nebuchadnezzar. So again, we find that they were cast into a fire. Not only did they not burn, but there was a fourth person in the fire that Nebuchadnezzar described as like a son of the gods. We don't know who he was. I'm guessing it was an angel. And some people want to say it's Jesus. I think it was an angel. And we could go back to other scriptures where people think someone is Jesus. I think it was an angel. But here's a situation where these men proved that God had power to do what no one else could do. And in fact, the men who threw them into the fire were slain. So again, a very poignant example of the power of God and the righteousness, the integrity of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar learned that Daniel's God is the Most High God. If you remember, he had gone out on his balcony and looked at all the great land that he reigned over, and it was massive. And he decided that he had done this all himself, and he was patting himself on the back, and immediately God took notice, and God decided that he would send him away and make him act like an animal for a while until he would come to his senses. In chapter 5, Daniel shines. A new king is in power, Nebuchadnezzar's son. Now this is new to our lessons in this series. Actually, it's one series that just morphed over into this. This one is about integrity. The last one was about gratitude. This new king is Belshazzar, and he is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Unfortunately for him, although he knew of his father's experience, what had happened to dear old dad was out there eating grass like an animal, And he realized that that had taken place, but he didn't really learn from it. What a shame. He did not even know about Daniel, one of the greatest men in his own kingdom, until he had sunken so low that no recovery was permitted him. You know, I might even rephrase that. I might actually say that even though Belshazzar did not know it, Daniel probably was the greatest man in his kingdom, a man of complete integrity. Daniel chapter 5, 1 through 2, Belshazzar the king held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and he was drinking wine in the presence of the 1,000. When Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So he said, well, what party is complete without taking something we've stolen from someone else and bringing it in and drinking from it? Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. How ridiculous. And they're doing this with something that had belonged to God. Now, it's interesting that I know some of the Bible classes were studying this very morning, and it says, suddenly, the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. And so here we have someone writing from right to left in Hebrew, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees began knocking together. The king called aloud to bring in the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. The king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, any man who can read this inscription and explain its interpretation to me shall be clothed with purple and have a necklace of gold around his neck and have authority as third ruler in the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the inscription or make known the interpretation to the king. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed. His face grew even paler, and his nobles were perplexed. The queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. The queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. Now you think that Belshazzar would have known that. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. So the queen had full confidence in Daniel. She knew what had taken place, and she understood that if God were willing, or as she thought of it, the gods, the spirit of the gods, were willing, then Daniel would be able to tap into that sea of knowledge and be able to explain not only what these words meant, but why they were written on the wall. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Now I have heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before me that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I personally have heard about you, that you are able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. Now, if you are able to read the inscription and make its interpretation known to me, you will be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will have authority as the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, it wouldn't be long before he was second ruler in the kingdom, because Belshazzar was going to be toast very soon. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Keep your gifts for yourself or give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him. O king, the Most High God granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your father. Because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language feared and trembled before him. Whomever he wished, he killed, and whomever he wished, he spared alive, and whomever he wished, he elevated, and whomever he wished, he humbled." And there's a picture, a reminder of Nebuchadnezzar and how great he had been, and now eating grass. But it says, "When his heart was lifted up, and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was deposed from his royal throne, and his glory was taken away from him. He was also driven away from mankind, and his heart was made like that of beasts, and his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. He was given grass to eat like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven, until he recognized that the Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind, and that he sets over it whomever he wishes." Again, Daniel explaining what Nebuchadnezzar had learned, things that unfortunately Belshazzar had not paid attention to. Daniel continues, "Yet you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this, but you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand. But the God in whose hand are your life, breath, and your ways, you have not glorified." Here's the problem. He's dissipated. He's worshiping everything. And he's using things that belong to God to do it. He's using the life, his breath, that the true God has given him to worship things that don't see, don't hear, and cannot breathe. Then the hand was sent from him. From God, that hand came. Then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written out. Now this is the inscription that was written out. Mene, Mene, Tekel, you Farsin. This is the interpretation of the message. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. So you see on the scale, the evil far outweighed the good. I don't think the scale is an accurate representation. I think the evil would be pressing into the ground as much heavier than any righteousness or integrity in this fellow. And here it is again in Daniel 5:23, the reason for all of this, the God in whose hand are your life, breath, and your ways, you have not glorified. God put up with a lot of things from a lot of people, especially people that weren't that closely in touch with him. But this guy had nothing going for him. He didn't know or love God at all. Then Belshazzar gave orders, and they clothed Daniel with purple, and put a necklace of gold around his neck, and issued a proclamation concerning him that he now had authority as the third ruler in the kingdom. That same night, Daniel became second in the kingdom. because Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. Somebody had enough of him. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at about the age of 62. I don't know if you can read that, but I tried to write there, defying is dying, and he was very defiant. He would even use things that were stolen from God and still belong to God and have a big party with his craziness, worshiping all kinds of false gods. Well, jealousy and envy bring death. Jealousy and envy bring all kinds of problems. And I don't know whether I should start this, but I think I have time. I'll be quick. There are 13 slides, and I'm standing here thinking, should I go into chapter 6 or not? How about if I save chapter 6 for another time? Because you all look kind of tired. So I'm going to hit 13 slides. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Do you think that we could say Daniel walked with God? Do you think we could say Job walked with God? Do you think we could say we walk with God? I hope so, and I believe so. If we don't, we need to work on it. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Notice again the words all, and notice the word did. Noah and Daniel were men of faith, integrity, right thought, and right action. In Colossians chapter 2, 6 through 8, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Remember this morning in the lesson, the importance of how we walk, where we stand, where we sit, in Psalm number 1. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority, and in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Not a work that we have done, but a work that God does to us when we are baptized into Jesus Christ. Remember, Noah was praised because he did what God said to do, and he did all that God said to do. Noah and Daniel were men of faith, integrity, right thought, and right action, and we ought to be the same. In the famous words of Douglas Roosevelt, do the right thing, at the right time, in the right way, for the right reasons. I talked this morning about how I had to punish two of my class monitors for their cheating, and I made them, but I didn't consider it a punishment, I actually considered it something they really needed. I made them write essays on integrity and righteousness. I wanted them to think about those two things. One had to write about integrity, the other had to write about righteousness. And as they're writing those 500 words, they could remember that they cheated on their exam and that it did not exemplify the things that they were writing about. So what about us? As I said this morning, if someone were to write an essay about our lives, could they say that we were people of integrity? Well, this evening, if there's anything we can do, we offer you the opportunity for spiritual help in any way that we can, prayers of the congregation, whatever you may need, please let us know. We don't always know what's in your heart, but we would like to. Please come as we stand and as we sing.